Then I would like to come to the enhancements that were made later by Pietro and Molinar. Molinar speaks of, in terms of a rezu mark which distorts the cheek area of the so-called right side of the face. However, he claims that the bisymmetry, as you'll see in the next picture's sequence, is maintained and that there is a second eye that appears. I'd like to read from a portion of the documentation of the computer conference, if I may. This is from the official document. We see in the investigation four photographs. Two of the head made at high resolution, one of the pyramids of Elysium, and one of the Inca city near the south pole of Mars. This is a subject area that I have not shown you. After 5 months, we have enlarged our database enormously. We now have six photographs of the head and a full range of sun angles. The original two, document 35A72 and document 70A13, were taken in the afternoon at high resolution. This is in July of 1986. But still resolved the object well with many pixels. The new photographs that were located by our group, based on careful examination and photographic measurements, show the object to be remarkably symmetrical, about a midline, and with a very well-developed nose. It appears to have two eyes, a mouth, and the usual human proportions. It also appears to be wearing something resembling a helmet. This suggests that the object may be artificial. The document is reinforced by these new pictures rather than being refuted. Now, speaking for the research group at Goddard and SRI, the collective report goes as follows. We have found new photos of pyramids of Elysium as well as new pyramids at other locations showing a remarkable pattern in relationship to the Sidonian face. There is a geographic correlation among the sites. They are all near where water appears once to have flowed. They are all above the 0 kilometer elevation line, according to U.S. Geological Survey Martian Atlas reports. Three of the sites are near the edge of vast plains. All but one of the sites uses an alignment that is, as we determine, a crescent connected with Sidonia, the site of the head. And then, if I can summarize, we went to the original raw data to reevaluate the original Viking geochemical results in the light of these findings. For if we consider seriously the possibility of a dead civilization on Mars, there would have to have been a biosphere on Mars in some past epoch. The burning question became whether the Viking geochemical results preclude the possibility of a past Martian biosphere similar to that of Earth. The answer seems to be no. Instead, the presence of many river-like channels on the Martian surface strongly suggests that Mars had Earth-like temperatures and atmospheric pressures at one time. Note, this was made in 1982, prior to the evidences released by NASA Ames in 1985 that we're about to see. Further, the evidence of isotropic ratios for nitrogen and oxygen suggests that Mars once had a much larger amount of nitrogen and that a vast amount of water, enough to cover the planet's surface to a depth of 10 to 100 meters, may have been present at one time. Interestingly enough, the higher estimates of water amounts would have filled the northern plains and formed a polar ocean with sea levels at approximately 0 kilometers. The Viking landers both landed on the plains below 0 kilometers and found material which matches best with the terrestrial ocean bottom clays. One mystery that we have noted was that the Viking landers found no nitrates in the soil. Although the models for atmospheric photolytic reactions predicted that they should be present in significant quantities. This, curiously, is related perhaps to the question of a past biosphere. Finally, the Viking landers verified something which has long been suspected, that Mars is red because it is covered with red ferric iron. Since ferric oxide exists on Earth only in the red beds of the Precambrian and the Postcambrian layers, it is believed to mark the rise of free oxygen in the atmosphere produced by photosynthesis. Although the oxygen could have been formed by water rather than photosynthesis, the presence of these red iron oxides, taken with other evidence, suggests that a past Earth-like biosphere on Mars cannot be reasonably precluded. Now, this is a statement made by the research group behind the scenes. And I again want to prefix my remarks by saying that what I am presenting represents a minority report. We're going to look at this now in terms of other areas of synoptic measurement. And because several of the subjects here go into the paraphysical and the paranormal sides of the Mars story, I would like you to use a good selective factor for several of the arguments I do not personally accept, but may reflect arguments that are superlogical, logical, or quite illogical. So again, mindful of the new Viking materials, I would like to throw again the floor open for discussion before we take a look at the additional enhancements. Any questions regarding the statement that I've just read to you? What I'm saying, if I may capsulize, is that we must look very carefully at Mars, not so much regarding the possibility of life on Mars, but regarding the possibility that an extrasolar event or life from elsewhere in the universe may have come by long enough to have left behind these structures of measurement. What I'm saying is we must entertain the information in the context of NASA's Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence program. In the context of our expansion into space, in the realization that everywhere we look through the telescope there are the amino acids, the basic building blocks of life, it is quite possible that an extrasolar intelligence could have measured life by executing pyramidal arrangements on Mars as well as on the planet, both planets of which share a similar rotational day.